And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. It is time for Secrets. We are up to volume number 355. Now, I need to let everyone know, if you are a fan of cassette tapes, this will be the last month that we will be offering cassette tapes. Now, keep an eye out on the webpage and in the June newsletter. We may have an announcement about cassettes, and if you're interested, it may be something to keep your eye out for. I'm not sure exactly what Sandra and I are going to do with all the cassettes, but there's going to be something special for you if you love cassettes. But we are phasing them out. They are getting expensive to reproduce. The duplicating machines are getting scarce. We've gone through three in the last 8 years, and three of them are completely gone. Three sets, I should clarify. There's two in each set. And it's just an expense that it's becoming untenable. So we will be discontinuing cassettes after May 2026, and we will have only the CDs for the radio programs. Now, we are also going to have some prayer requests today. Received a number of them, and thank you for allowing me to pray for you and for allowing our prayer warriors to hold everyone up in prayer. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry. We appreciate your financial support that keeps us going, keeps us on the air, allows us to keep printing and mailing the newsletter to everybody. The May newsletter is up on our website. Hopefully you'll be getting it in the mail pretty quick. I know they went out a little earlier than normal. We try to get it around the first of the month when they arrive for you. But it's up on the webpage. If you want to go to powerofprophecy.com, you'll see it right there on the page, the main page. And you can read this month's articles by Sandra and myself. Now, Travis R. emailed me and he said, can you please pray for me? He's being verbally attacked by Satan. He's hearing curse words yelled at him. And he is asking for peace and for comfort and for God to make this stop. He said, I prayed for my enemies to come to know Jesus Christ. That's probably another reason why he's angry with me, little H. Because Satan doesn't like competition, but he knows he's already lost. So hold Travis R. up in your prayers. My buddy Khalil out in California. There was an earthquake in his area recently. He says he's fine, and it seems that everything in the surrounding area is fine, but it's very unnerving. He's asking for courage for himself and for Jesus to lay hands to bless everyone with comfort and with ease and protection and peace. He's also asked us to pray for Charles Foner. Pray for his liberation and a financial blessing. It seems Charles has been incarcerated, I think in New York is what Khalil said, for self-defense. But you know how the liberal prosecutors in New York are. And Charles, I think, is incarcerated for the next 4 years. So please hold Charles up in your prayer. Diana V. I never give out the full name. except I did for Charles. But I don't want any undue pressure or attention focused on those who are asking us to pray for them. The Lord knows who we're asking to pray for. She says, I cannot imagine life without your radio show. I appreciate everything you do to help mankind stay on a straight and narrow path. I have benefited for years listening in support of what God is doing in this world. I ask for prayer from God to call all my unsaved loved ones to Him before it's too late. I love them all dearly and do not want to see any of them go to hell. She also emailed that she has a childhood friend in Chicago. Her mom, I think, suffered a stroke. Please hold Yolanda C. up in your prayers that the Lord's healing hand will help her in her recovery from this stroke. And then Ollie, over in Finland, he's going to be in Vasas on May 1st. There's going to be the gospel. There's going to be some encounters and music and piano and celebration of our Lord. And on the 2nd of May, they're going to be prison mission days at the Corso Pentecostal Church. Former and current prisoners are going to talk about life, prison, and the change they have received by accepting Jesus. And then another dear friend down in Australia. We're global. Peter N. He's asking for prayer for him. Pray for comfort. Pray for peace. Pray for a financial blessing. I know Peter's had health issues in the past, and he's had financial worries in the past. So please hold Peter N. up in your prayers. Peter also said, keep up the excellent work of the ministry. Peter, it's great to hear from you again, my friend. Same for Travis and Khalil and Diana and Ollie. I love getting emails from y'all, getting your prayer requests. I'm happy and blessed to pray for you and your friends. And thank you for blessing me with the opportunity to pray for you and your friends and family. Now, want to dive in on this? I meant to bring this up last week when I talked with Pastor Matt first. I hope you enjoyed the program. I enjoy every time I can get Pastor Matt on the phone and have a program with him. He is so knowledgeable, and he's got great insight, and he does tremendous work up in Custer, South Dakota. But I saw this in the news, and I didn't get a chance to bring it up during our program, but the Israeli Defense Forces are in Lebanon. And there was a soldier who smashed a statue of Jesus, an Israeli Defense Force soldier. There was another one of his comrades, I use that term for a reason, who stood there taking pictures of him destroying Jesus, this statue. Both of these men have been removed from combat duty. The IDF said the statue has been replaced in full coordination with the local community in Debel in southern Lebanon. In a statement posted on X, the IDF said its inquiry into the incident found that an IDF soldier destroyed a Christian religious symbol, while another soldier photographed the act, and six additional soldiers were at the scene and did not attempt to stop the incident or report it. Netanyahu got on X. And, you know, the support for Israel is waning. The only demographic that is above 50% support for the nation of Israel are those in my age group, 60 and up. And so Netanyahu is trying to stem the tide. But it's not doing a whole lot of good when his citizens, especially soldiers, do vile acts like this. No, it's just a statue. But it's the fact that they hate Jesus. Netanyahu said they were going to calm down like a ton of bricks on these soldiers for destroying this statue. Are you ready to hear the punishment? They have been removed from combat duty and sentenced to 30 days in jail. Honestly, do you really think these soldiers are going to spend more than a couple days in the Hoosgow? I seriously doubt it. The IDF also claimed on X that the remaining troops were going to have to be summoned before a military board and discuss what they saw and why they did nothing about it. They're probably raising a toast and celebrating the fact that, yep, we destroyed Jesus once again. And it's just a statue, just a figure of speech. I hope you're not taking this out of context. But I don't see any punishment coming down for this. Bibi Netanyahu posted on X, "I was stunned and saddened to learn that an IDF soldier damaged a Catholic religious icon. I condemn the act in the strongest terms." Bibi also posted, "All religions flourish in our land, and we view members of all faiths as equals in building our society and region." If you buy that line, I've got some oceanfront property in Phoenix, Arizona, I would love to talk to you about. But I did want to bring that up last week. I didn't have a chance to with Matt. We just got in a really good discussion, and I hope you tuned in. If not, it's streaming on our archives, and if you need a copy of the CD, I'd be happy to send it to you. It's only $16 postpaid to listen to that outstanding interview. Sandra even called me up Monday and said, "You know, that interview with Matt Furze was really good." I said, "I know." He is a pleasure to chat with. I love talking to Pastor Matt. Well, let's move to Seattle. They have a mayor, Katie Wilson. You know, Leslie and I went to Seattle to go out of port there to go on an Alaskan cruise, and the part of Seattle we saw, downtown, open drug use, homeless people everywhere, passed out in the alleyways, nobody around. It's not a place that I would care to live in, but to each his own. Katie Wilson is the mayor, and she is sending a clear message to the people with money. She was asked about millionaires leaving the city over higher taxes. Well, I got a clip for you. This is her response. I want you to hear what the mayor thinks about wealthy people leaving Seattle and or Washington State.
I think the claims that millionaires are going to leave our state are like super overblown. And if, you know, the ones that leave, like, bye.
Bye. Bye, Felicia. This is the kind of attitude that seems to be prevalent in heavily blue states and cities. This, the cause and effect, I keep talking about this, cause and effect. This is going to chase away jobs. It's going to chase away investment. It's going to chase away the tax base. And all of this combined keeps the city running. And by telling these people bye, that shows a total disregard and disrespect for taxpayers in the city of Seattle and the state of Washington. But it's not, it's happening in California. It's happened in New York. I've got a clip I want to play of Governor Hochul here in a minute, but this is a playbook that you see repeated constantly in these blue cities. They want to tax the rich. They want to promise more free stuff just to get in office. They want to pretend that the money is never going to dry up. And when reality smacks them smack between the eyes, they're the most surprised individuals around. They cannot believe that the people who are paying the biggest chunk of the bills have left. Seattle has already watched major names rethink their future. Boeing left years ago. Amazon has vamanosed. Starbucks, one of the city's biggest success stories, is now looking at greener pastures and getting out of Seattle and Washington State. But the same people that are pushing tax hikes keep acting like wealth is trapped in place. It's not. Rich people can afford to move. Businesses can afford to move. Entrepreneurs can afford to move. And it's not just wealthy taxpayers that are going to be lost to these cities. It's hiring. It's donations. It's spending. All of this works hand in glove. But the socialists don't understand that, or they refuse to understand it. It's common sense. And common sense is hanging out with Elvis. It has left the building in most politicians. Nick Hanauer is a billionaire. He spent years helping to build Seattle's progressive tax machine. But all of a sudden, he's reading the writing on the wall. He said, quote, "Virtually every wealthy friend I have has either left or is planning to. It's a catastrophe." Close quote. Duh. This is an insider who helped create this mess. And all of a sudden, he's been smacked between the eyes and he realizes that they have destroyed the tax base. If cities continue to govern this way, it's like the definition of insanity, where you do the same thing over and over and over, thinking that the results are going to be different. That's insanity. And that's what is happening. And sooner or later, the bill comes due and nobody is going to be around to pay for it. It's happening with the socialist in New York City, Zoran Mamdani. He had all these grand plans, right? We're going to have city-owned grocery stores. Oh, that works great. It's going to be affordable. We're going to run out all the chains and the big corporations, and we're going to have city-run groceries, and it's going to be fantabulous. Ask Kansas City, Zoran, how well a city-run grocery store is. I've posted pictures on our webpage before. There's nothing on the shelves. They want to give away, give away, give away. But there's no money to pay the bills. Zoran, pay attention. Recently, Mamdani targeted billionaires in a video that went viral. But now he is facing backlash that could be the final nail in New York City's coffin. Sarah Gonzalez is a reporter. She said, quote, "They are not just going to sit there and take it. They're going to do something about it. What do you think these millionaires that don't even live there full time are going to do?" Close quote. Mamdani wants to tax the rich, but there is an effect for this. There will be repercussions. Mamdani said, I think this was in the video, quote, "When I ran for mayor, I said I was going to tax the rich. Well, today, we're taxing the rich. I'm thrilled to announce we've secured a pied-a-terre tax, the first in New York's history. This is an annual fee on luxury properties worth more than $5 million whose owners do not live full-time in the city." Close quote. You know, a few years ago, Kathy Hochul, the governor, another demon rat, just like, well, Mom Donnie's a socialist. He's a commie. But Kathy Hochul's not that far left, but she's close. And when she first was informed that the tax burden on the rich in the state of New York was going to cost them money, this is what she had to say.
"And we're here to say that the era of Trump and Zeldin and Molinaro, just jump on a bus and head down to Florida where you belong, okay? Get out of town. Get out of town. Because you don't represent our values. You are not New Yorkers.
Get out of town. Get on that bus. Get out of here." Oh, but wait. The tables always turn on these takers. They're not givers, they're takers. And this is what Kathy Hochul is saying now that she's facing re-election. And, well, there is a bit of a financial problem in New York State.
But maybe the first step should be go down to Palm Beach and see who he can bring back home, because our tax base has been eroded. So I philosophically don't have a problem. It is like I have to look at the fact that we are in competition with other states who have less of a tax burden on their corporations and their individuals. And I would say remote work changed everything. There were people who could only work in an office in Manhattan or work in New York State, and they were captives to our state. They were going to stay. We've saw that that's not the case. I mean, you know, Wall Street businesses looking at Texas, they're not going there because they have a nicer governor. I know that for sure. But they're going there because of the tax rate. We have to be smart about this.
I think Elvis has left the building, Kathy. Why would you want to pay a ridiculous tax to drive, to own a business in the state of New York? I sure wouldn't. I want nothing to do with it. Now, I've been to upstate New York. We raced at Watkins Glen. It is beautiful in upstate New York. And it's probably more conservative than what you see in Manhattan and in New York City proper. They're bloodsuckers in Albany, where the capital is, and in New York City. Mom Donnie is definitely not going to help Kathy Hochul get the tax base to come back to New York State. I think that ship has sailed. And she's right. They are not held captive anymore. With remote work, the people don't have to be there. Look at San Francisco. They have office space all over the place in downtown San Francisco. Well, let's see. They defunded the police. They had a progressive Soros-backed DA that didn't prosecute anybody. Drug use went up. Homelessness went up. Crime went up. Mom and pops couldn't afford to stay downtown because there were nobody working downtown. And they couldn't afford the security to keep their employees and their potential customers safe. So they shut down. Now you can get pennies on the dollar leasing office space in downtown San Francisco if you want to put up with that. It's going to happen in New York. Wasn't New York bankrupt before, Rudy took over as the mayor, a semi-Republican mayor in New York City? You've had de Blasio, a commie. Now you got Mom Donnie, a commie. All they're doing is take, 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 and tax the rich. And it is not a winning strategy. Not by a long shot. Well, here's something that I saw a post on X. It was on our local news. And I tell you what, I am so proud of this principle. There was a thug, a punk, named Victor Hawkins at Paul's Valley High School in Oklahoma. He showed up at this high school loaded for bear, guns in hand, and he entered the school lobby. And I think he shot at several students, and the gun jammed, became useless. Well, the principal, his name is Kirk Moore, he came out and he tackled an armed gunman. Now, the gunman shot him in the leg. That would be alleged gunman. He's a suspect until he's convicted. I will say that part. But he tackled Hawkins against a bench. He was able to subdue him. He was able to get one of the guns out of the suspect's hand, all while he's got a bullet wound in his leg. How many students did this principal save? If you have a student in this high school, you need to be taking care of this principal, because he saved all those kids' lives. This is a hero. And I saw a follow-up. They had prom not long after this. They named the principal Prom King, and all of the kids were hugging on him and thanking him because of his heroic actions. Now, Hawkins has admitted that he wanted to carry out his own school shooting, kind of like what happened in Columbine. Sick individuals. What's the deal with school shooters? Is it because it's a target-rich environment and it's a gun-free zone? Why? Why the need to go shoot up a school? Why go kill children? You know, this is the part that perplexes me, because growing up in small town Texas, there were probably 36 pickup trucks with gun racks in the window, and there were shotguns and rifles in most of them. And they were loaded. And we didn't have a single school shooting back then. Not in small town Texas. There were fights, but there was no idiocy with guns. We have lost respect for human beings. We have lost respect for discourse. We can no longer have an educated discussion. All of a sudden, it becomes me against you, mano a mano, and I got to kill you. There's no respect for life. I saw an article today. A drive-thru worker was shot and killed over onion rings. The guy in the car in the drive-thru shot and killed him, fighting over onion rings. Come on. Are we serious? You know, I've had a program before, Where Are We At in Society? And it is sad to see how far we have fallen. We have become such a godless nation that we don't think twice about shooting a drive-thru person because they didn't give me my onion rings. Shooting students in a school because I want to be remembered like the ding-dongs in Columbine in Littleton, Colorado. And I'm not even going to mention those jackwagons' names. There's more. I'll get to more. There's another facet of this topic that I'll get to in the second half. But before we go, came across this. This was on X. Brooke Rollins was on there, and it was posted by Brooke talking about SNAP, the food stamp program. And in one red state, not a blue state, a red state, there were 14,000 individuals who were getting SNAP benefits and driving luxury vehicles. Listen to what Brooke said on this interview.
Previously, no data was shared. We had no idea where the taxpayer dollars were spent. Just one red state, the recent dump of data, we found SNAP recipients had more than 2,000 Tesla owners, 200 Alfa Romeo owners, more than 144 that were receiving food stamps were driving Porsches. Again, this is the data dumps we're getting because that before we had no accountability on any of these programs. We now are requiring accountability. The blue states are suing us. They don't want to share the data. And can you imagine, this was a red state where there is actually some taxpayer accountability. Imagine what's happening in the blue states.
Check out some of these cars. There were 3 Bentleys. There were 3 Ferraris, 11 Lamborghinis, 59 Maseratis, 306 Land Rovers. On top of the cars that she mentioned, these are all almost, if not, six-figure vehicles, and people are scamming the system to get food stamps and driving these kinds of cars. And this is just one red state. They are taking advantage of the American taxpayer. This is the problem with the government doling out all this cash. It's unchecked. It's such a bureaucracy, they don't know tit from tat. And this money's just flying out. We wonder why we have such a nasty deficit. Congress is spending on pork programs, and we got bureaucracies handing out money hand over fist. So far, Brooke has removed 4.3 million Americans off of SNAP, and there is more work that needs to be done. Definitely. Well, that's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me some of your time. We got to take a brief pause right now, and when I come back, we're going to dive right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I have to tell you about a documentary DVD that we're offering here at the ministry entitled Mind Control, the MK Ultra files, with roots deep in the history of military sciences. Largely beginning after World War II, the history of mind control studies is a rich and fascinating one. The quest to conquer the human mind was attempted by the CIA shortly after the end of the Second World War. That's when they created the MK Ultra Project. It was comprised of 149 sub-projects. The goal of this program? Study the effects of drugs, different types of radical procedures, all on unwitting civilians to better understand how to create and interrogate spies during the Cold War. The results and actions taken by numerous agencies, doctors, and scientists over a 30-year period came to light before Congress in the 1977 Church Committee hearings. Some of the most shocking and bizarre stories ever perpetrated by a Democratic government on its own people was exposed during the Church Committee hearings. This documentary features an exclusive interview as well as presentations by renowned trauma expert Dr. Colin Ross. The MK Ultra Files is an examination of some of those experiments and the effects they have had on our culture. It is a 60-minute documentary, DVD. We're only asking $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $26 for Mind Control, the MK Ultra Files. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. If you care to order online, just go to our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. You'll find an ad for Mind Control, the MK Ultra Files, right there on the main page. Just put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit. We'll get it and get it coming to you. You can use your Visa, your Discover, your MasterCard, or your American Express. Whether you phone it in, whether you go online, or if you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy. And you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas. And our zip code is 78669. $26 postpaid for Mind Control, the MK Ultra Files. Get your copy today. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. Today we're discussing Secrets, volume number 355. I told you I wanted to get to more of these school shootings and the idiocy, but there is another section of mentally ill people that are also doing mass shootings at schools. And this was in the news, a transgender, a tranny, substitute teacher in Virginia was arrested for allegedly threatening to go on a murder spree at a local high school. You'll never guess where this was at in Virginia. If you said Loudoun County, ding, 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 get yourself a chocolate chip cookie because you earned it. One of the most liberal bastions in Virginia, and it's full of them, but the looniness in the Loudoun County area is off the charts. This dude's name is Hayden Dollery. He's 19 years old. He is a substitute teacher at 19. Not certified, but he's a substitute teacher. He was charged with making threats of bodily injury. Now, this dude self-identifies as a woman. but he is incarcerated as a man. Good night, nurse. I am so glad that they have put him in with the guys. This fruitcake. According to this report, Dollery made online threats against family and friends. The threats included this murder spree at a school. Allegedly, he had a kill list on here. And the representative of the school, Dan Adams, said Dollery was a non-licensed substitute, but has since been taken off the list. Now, to be a non-licensed substitute in Virginia, all you have to be is 18 and a graduate from high school, and you can be a teacher, a substitute teacher. But a tranny, if that doesn't reinforce the fact that it is a mental illness and needs to be treated as such and not following along with their fantasy, I don't know what else to tell you. This is not the first, nor will it be the last tranny that wants to be a school shooter or has pulled it off. Audrey Hale, identified as a dude, killed six in March of 2023 in Nashville, Tennessee, before she killed herself. August 2025, two children killed in a mass shooting in Minneapolis. Robert Westman, a male who had his name legally changed to Robin, handled that shooting. February, a self-described tranny student shot nine people to death in British Columbia, Canada. A 2025 analysis of planned or successfully executed mass school shootings found that roughly 40% of them since 2020 have involved trans-identifying suspects. And the loony left continues to want to allow dudes that identify as a chick to dress in a girl's locker room, to access girls' restrooms. Those who push this agenda should be charged as accessories after the fact for promoting this mental illness as normal. And I know that there are some lawsuits that are still going on. One has already been settled for those who were mutilated as teens. And their lives are irreparably harmed, damaged, destroyed. Can't go back to the way it was before they were destroyed. But the people that push this gender fluidity agenda, and there are a bunch in the public school system, and if you have children or grandchildren, you need to out these people or pull your children out. Do not subject your children to this garbage. It is vitally important for the health of our nation. I cannot be more serious about that topic. Now here, this is going to be comic relief, but this is the type of people that we keep putting in office. This is again in Virginia. Virginia is a beautiful state. I've got dear friends in Virginia, and I cannot for the life of me understand how the Commonwealth has succumbed to the idiocy and the lunacy that is progressive doctrine. I'm sure there's a number of transplants, but it is permeating Virginia, Maryland, and it needs to be eradicated. It is detrimental to the health of the states and this nation. This is a state senator. His name is Lamont Bagby. They were debating the redistricting that the Democrats wanted to do to change the districts, which were 6-5 Democrat, to 10-1 Democrat, because Texas had to redraw their district lines by court order. This was a vote that was passed on April 21st. So all the nut jobs that are on the progressive side of the scale voted for this constitutional amendment that gave the legislature the authority to redraw congressional districts. And Republicans were arguing that the Democrats have no grasp on rural life. And this is the genius, Lamont Bagby, who thought he would explain why he can relate to rural Americans.
Listen, I almost took issue with the other side saying that we don't understand. But I grew up watching the Waltons. I grew up with Opie. I even watched the Dukes of Hazzard. I think I know a little bit about rural America. And when I think about why we are here, we're not just here. I'm not just here for Thea. I'm not just here for Arnold or Willis. I'm here for Opie, John Boy, Bloxham, Topanga.
This guy is so out of touch with reality. He is equating Hollywood production as actual rural America. I watch the Waltons. I know John Boy. I watch a Dukes of Hazzard. Come on. And he was serious. He thought this was a great argument. I know a little bit about rural America. I know Opie. That's fantasy land. Goodness gracious. Now, thankfully, the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional. They passed it. It was Spanberger couldn't wait to sign it. They were going to change it from 6 to 5, which was created by an independent commission. There were 6 Democrat districts and 5 Republican districts. The most fair distribution in the country, done by an independent panel. And they wanted it 10-1 Democrat. Well, now they got to go back to the drawing board or go back to the original, which was 6-5. But a state senator that Virginians elected. Now, he's from Richmond, so he's from up north. He's part of the problem, definitely not part of the solution. Goodness. Here's another person who is part of the problem and not part of the solution. I'm sure you've seen this woman. She is a demon rat from Connecticut. She's got purple hair. She's got purple streaks. She's a elderly woman. I know the difference between lady and woman. She's no lady, but she is a woman. She is a female with purple hair. So you can understand her mentality. I think that purple may have sucked any common sense out of the gray matter she could have had. But her name is Rosa DeLauro. She had a meltdown when the EPA administrator Lee Zeldin testified to her committee. And the meltdown is because he embarrassed her during an exchange on climate change and the law. This is the House Appropriations Committee. They're talking about Trump's 2027 budget request. And in this budget request, they are going to cut the EPA budget in half if Congress will approve it. Sounds fiscally responsible to me. But during the hearing, DeLauro attacked Zeldin for appeasing polluters and ignoring Americans under the false flag of economic growth. Zeldin responded by explaining that he's following the law. Listen to this exchange. She just goes off her rocker.
The budget proposal reads like a climate change denier's manifesto. When climate change is flooding our streets, poisoning our air, driving up health care and disaster costs, how can the EPA justify abandoning that duty to protect Americans to appease polluters under the false flag of economic growth?
Following the law, Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, where does it say anything about fighting global climate change? Loper Bright, Supreme Court case, you're familiar with it?
No, I maybe others are. I'm not, but let me ask.
But that's really important. As a member of Congress, Loper Bright says that we as an agency don't have the authority to get creative. If Section 202 of the Clean Air Act.
No, but you don't have, excuse me, you do not have the right to say climate change does not exist, that it's a hoax, and that's where this administration is coming from.
I understand you're upset that you don't know what Loper Bright is. Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
I'm upset because.
Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
You know what, let me just.
You're a member of Congress. You should know.
Well, you have moved from someone who defended the environment to all of a sudden.
I'm very defensive about not knowing the two biggest landmark Supreme Court cases of the last year with regards to your question.
You are very defensive about changing your policy and your positions with regard to the environment.
Okay.
Now,
you want me to tell you what the two biggest Supreme Court cases are of the last few years?
But this is what I want you
Michigan
to tell
versus
me.
EPA.
Whoa.
West Virginia versus EPA.
You know, you're here because you need money from us. So halt for the second and wait for the question and answer the question.
Well, I answered your question.
No, you didn't.
And you didn't like my answer because you don't know what Loper Bright is, because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is. Because you're asking me about Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, and you don't read it. You don't know what it says.
Listen, and what you want to do is to deny, you want to.
No, I actually read the law. I do my homework.
Really?
You're just somebody who likes to have the microphone on. You know what I have to do? I read the law,
you know,
I read the Supreme Court cases.
And I would say
no, what you should do for your constituents is actually read statute.
The budget is at real risk.
Read your Supreme Court.
This is the Appropriations Committee.
Oh, you care about science, now you're threatening to defund it?
Oh my God, no, you don't fund science.
Because you don't know what Loper Bright is. Because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is. Your message to our folks at the EPA is that you want to defund us.
I don't have to listen to this
BS. You think I made up these cases?
Yeah, I think you have made up
Made up Loper Bright. I made up West Virginia versus EPA. I made up Michigan versus EPA.
Woe is right.
We're not going to get any very far by talking on top of each other so that no one can hear. If you ask a question, you have to give the witness an opportunity to respond.
I do not have to have the witness attack me.
The witness attacked her. No, she has no clue. You know, when you show up to a gunfight, you better have bullets in the gun, and she has none. She is all ideology. She's writing these laws. She's part of Congress that is writing these laws. And her staff is just as delinquent in not knowing the statutes and the Supreme Court decisions. He listed Loper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo. This was a Supreme Court case in 2024, but she's not aware of it. And I'm not a Lee Zeldin honk. I don't think he is the greatest thing since sliced bread, but at least he was prepared for this interview. And then she drops, I don't have to listen to this BS. You made it up. All she could do was yell at him. And then she wanted the chairman to do something because she felt he attacked her. No, you're an idiot, DeLauro. Goodness. You got called out for not being prepared and not paying attention. Everybody in Congress, I keep telling you, the only job they have is to get reelected. How long has this purple-haired woman been in Congress? Connecticut, you could do better. Get somebody who actually understands that Supreme Court rules on constitutionality on the laws that are written in Congress. And he's trying to reduce the EPA budget. Oh, because you're a climate denier. Oh, my goodness. This ideology instead of fact. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's move on here. This was an article by Greg Moriarty, The Golden State No More. There was a recent analysis by the California Policy Lab that shows Californians are relocating out of state not to just escape traffic and crime, but to dramatically improve their financial status and move closer to the American dream of homeownership. This report found that when residents move, they save an average of $672 a month on housing costs alone. The median home price for these movers, because now they can't afford to stay in California, the median price is $398,000 lower than the communities in California that they have left behind. Almost $400,000 less. This is a wealth-building opportunity that California's high tax, high regulation, environmental garbage denies the middle-class family. Evan White is the executive director of the California Policy Lab at UC Berkeley. He acknowledged the growing cost barrier that these progressive policies have created. White said, quote, "The difference these moves make is stark. Their destinations is neighborhoods half as expensive, and they end up much more likely to own a home within just a few years." You know what also improves? Their credit rating. Yes. Oh, my. Because they're not overtaxed, overregulated. There are a number of states that are benefiting from this exodus. Nevada, Idaho, Oregon, and Arizona are receiving the most transplants. These steep living expenses in California are not accidental. They are the predictable outcome of a decade or more of big government, loony left-wing governance. The problem is not only that Californians are leaving, fewer Americans are willing to move to the state defined by high costs and burdensome rules. Between 2020 and 2025, 42 states sent fewer people to California than they did before the scamdemic. Nobody can afford to live in that state unless you're a movie star or a tech bro that's worth billions, but the people that work there can't afford to stay. Oh, but let's tax the rich. That's why Intel, Hewlett Packard, Tesla have all moved to Texas because it's more affordable. I can't recall if I've told you this before, but the crew chief for the NASCAR team I was on, he lived in San Diego. His wife worked for Hewlett Packard. Had a nice house, nice for California standards. They sold it for $750,000, moved to Texas, bought a home for half that, and drop the rest in money markets and savings accounts. Nothing like a $400,000 profit. And I think he went from a 2-2 to a 4-2. Two bedroom, two bath to a four bedroom, two bath. Doesn't have to work. Now he still does, but he doesn't have to. She transferred when HP moved to Austin, and she retired. Happy, happy, joy, joy. And they left California behind. Well, I've talked about this, and I've got an update. Seattle, we'll go back to Seattle. You know, the World Cup is coming to America this year, the soccer tournament, the worldwide soccer tournament. There are going to be matches played in Seattle, and as I mentioned before, there is a drug and homeless problem in Seattle. If you build it, which is the free drugs and dispensaries and all that garbage, they will come. And they have flocked to Seattle. Well, now that the World Cup is coming to Seattle, the officials got to fix it. And they are in a mad dash to clean up the streets and the homeless encampments before the World Cup starts. I think it's in July. They have removed millions of pounds of trash, hundreds of thousands of drug paraphernalia. Let's see. It was a newly released Seattle Clean City Community Impact Report from 2025 that claims 5.3 million pounds of waste have been cleared from public rights of way, This is equal to 530 orca whales, 5.3 million pounds of waste. The same report notes that over 661,000 sharps, which are needles, syringes, lancets, have been collected and disposed of. Seattle is a bastion of all American cityhood, right? That is how much trash and drug garbage was in the city. And Seattle is expecting 750,000 people to show up and bring money and support the city. But the fact that they have cleaned this up highlights how quickly local leaders can mobilize when push comes to shove. These tourism dollars are huge, but they have allowed homelessness and open drug use for years under the progressive city leadership in Seattle. There's been lax enforcement, social programs with little accountability. The city's 2024 point in time count recorded a 26% increase in people experiencing homelessness since 2022. That is an indicator that existing policies are insufficient, don't work, need to be done away with. I've talked about this on the phone with a couple of you, but when mental health institutes were defunded by our federal government, they quit subsidizing all of the mental health, mental retardation units around the country. There was a big one downtown Austin, 38th Street and Lamar, right there on the corner. A big institution for the mentally ill. And when the government, the federal government, pulled the funds, they just turned these people out. There's your homeless population. And it hasn't done anything but expand. With the proliferation of nasty narcotics like fentanyl, ice, meth, coke, crack, heroin, and the fact that the cities are handing out paraphernalia to do these illicit and illegal drugs has led to this dilemma. If you go to a national park, you're going to see a sign that says, don't feed the animals. Don't feed the bears. Because it changes how wildlife takes care of itself. That's the same thing with the mentally ill and the drug addicts. By offering them free drugs, free needles, allowing them to sleep, defecate and urinate on the sidewalk, to harass, to panhandle. All you are doing is fostering a bigger problem. And it's only going to grow. Another cause and effect. In my opinion, it's going to take reinstituting these institutions for mental health to solve the homeless problem. And maybe we can solve the sexual, gender identity, fluidity, idiocy, and the mental health on that issue. These people need help. And throwing more drugs and allowing them to sleep on the sidewalk downtown is not the answer. What a tangled web we have weaved. Well, that's going to take care of this week's program. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.